Well. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. I'm really, really excited. This is episode 2 of the Coach's Corner, Conversations for Emerging Leaders. I am your host, executive coach and author, Joshua Miller. And I am really, really excited to have a bunch of people checking in this morning. We got 30 people, 40, 31 people and counting. As we go through the program today, I really encourage people to comment, to share, ask questions. I think a lot of people are going to be really excited with my guest today. So I don't want to spend too much time talking because I really want to get into this. So my first guest today, this is somebody who I say probably doesn't need much of an introduction, but I'm going to give him one because Jared Nichols, for those of you that do know him, he is very prolific on LinkedIn for sure. He also happens to be a futurist, and I think a lot of people may actually struggle with what that is. And it's really, really important. Jared also happens to be a very dear and close friend of mine, a confidant, someone I go to often for advice about, you know, my future and just how to ensure that we are actually taking our present and utilizing it to the best of our ability so we can actually build the life that we say that we want, because we can read the quotes, we can get inspired, we can watch the TED Talks and all that stuff. But if you're not taking the right action, right, if you're not working smart versus hard, then quite honestly, the future that's going to show up is not going to be the one you want. So without further ado, I want to welcome Jared Nichols. What's up, Jared? How are you?
Hey, Josh. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing really well. So I think our audience probably doesn't realize the extent of how much, first and foremost, we're good friends and we joke around quite a bit. So I know. So for all the people out there that think that this is going to be a very straightforward broadcast, it's not going to be, unfortunately, because Jared said that if I become too serious or I get too stoic in any way, shape or form, he's going to jump off. So brace yourself for whatever comes. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm having a little trouble seeing out of my left eye. But other than that, you know, I'm good to go.
And you didn't see
that. I don't know why either. It's just like one eye is blurred and the other one is, you know, it's probably something blooming. Who knows?
That's really great. And what does that have to do with, you tell the audience a little bit about who you are, what a futurist is, because quite honestly, before I met you, I had no idea what a futurist is or was or what they did. And so many people spend so much time preparing for the future interview, future relationship, future this, that, and the other thing. And today we're going to talk about what people really need to do to better themselves for it. But tell the world a little bit about yourself, please.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'll answer your first question about what a futurist is. That's really a relative question. You can ask 10 futurists what a futurist is, and they all give you a different answer. You know, people ask me all the time, how does somebody become a futurist? And I jokingly say this, but at the same time, I'm serious when I say the fastest and easiest way to do it is to start calling yourself one, because nobody will know the difference. You know, you know? But for me, what I've been trained for is really more relegated to the intelligence field and think tanks. So it's really, it's a way of thinking about strategy, strategic foresight, how to anticipate where the world might be going, and then make better decisions today to create the outcome that you want to see.
Right.
And for me, in my role as a futurist is more focused on empowering people to take an active role in creating the future. And not just, well, that sounds like a great poster, but an active role in saying, how am I going to think differently about what's going on in the world today? What stories and ideas am I believing about myself? I think my limitations are, and what my potential is to actually influence or change the outcome of the direction that we're currently on. And so that requires tools for sure,
yeah,
which, you know, we certainly teach those. But the first thing that really requires is a change in the way that we think.
Okay.
And the reason why I emphasize that is because so much of the discussion around the future is usually centered on technology, and it's usually centered on sound bites telling you what the future is going to be, predictions, forecasts, and so on. But all that really does is leave you trying to figure out how to plan around somebody else's idea. That leaves you thinking, well, this is what the future is going to be. And there's not a lot that's empowering about that. So my work is really trying to help people make better decisions today by better understanding how the future might unfold and then asking what else might be possible.
So, I mean, I love this, and this falls into a lot of the work that I do as a coach and working with my coach and clients and companies. What do you say to the people out there that are probably looking at you or honestly just saying, like, I don't buy it, right? Nobody knows the future. Nobody can predict the future. All we have is the present moment. What would you say to that person, right? Because let's be clear, it is not all roses, right? There are people out there that, you know, whether you want to call them, you know, I don't want to say necessarily victims, but there are people that just maybe have a lower belief system, right? They don't believe that they can control what's in their orbit or in their world in order to create the life that you talk about or that other people in the development self-help world talk about. So what would you say to somebody who's either on the fence or just says, hey, look, I'm not sure I get this?
Yeah. Well, I go back to what you said right there in the beginning. Somebody saying, I don't buy it. The future can't be predicted. My answer would be like, you're right. It can't. And I think that's that gets to the heart of why people don't take the time to think about the future. I think it's really it's twofold.
Yeah.
Number one is that, and I see this over and over again in my initial conversations with folks I work with other people when we get into conversations like this.
Yeah.
It always jumps to, well, the future is unknown, so all we can really do is make our best guess.
Sure.
And you know, without understanding that there's tools and strategies for thinking differently about it, then yeah, you're right. You can just make your best guess. And, you know, and that's really no way to plan ahead for the future.
Right.
But the reason why they do that, or the reason why we believe that, is because every decision that we make is based on testing, is based on what we know. It's based on context, right?
Yeah.
So when we look at the past, we look at here's the context and why certain things happened. We better understand why they happened because of the context.
Sure.
In the present day, we're thinking about business. Your relevance as a business, your value, or you know, whether it's as a business or as an employee, doesn't really matter. But that's all based on context.
Yeah.
And so what I try to help people understand is that the future is the same way. The future requires context. That's what a story is, right?
Yeah.
So you have a past context, a present context. And so helping people understand that you can actually create future context to better understand how you fare and multiple possible future outcomes. That's where tools come in. But first and foremost, it's understanding we have to create the story of the future first,
yeah,
and then ask the questions about where we will be so we can make decisions today.
So let me ask you a question, right? So, I mean, I think this is great, and I appreciate that answer. So did you graduate school saying, hey, I want to be a futurist? Like, how did you actually get into this world? Well, I think it's important. No. Hear me out, right? Because a lot of people that you meet, especially through LinkedIn and in the professional world, they're into their second or third or maybe even fourth career, right? A lot of us don't go to school for what we actually wind up making a living doing later in life. How is it that you discovered what this is? And also, I think it's important from just a people understanding, you're a highly accomplished individual. In terms of being a professor at a well-established university. I think it begs the question, how did you get into this line of work?
Yeah, so it's not this straight line.
It never is with you, Jared.
No, totally not. That's part of being left-handed and attention deficit and all these other things.
But stay focused, please. We only have 30 minutes. Come on now.
Oh, okay. In that case.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the quick rundown is this. My undergraduate degree was in English and English creative writing and history.
Okay.
And so naturally, when I got out, I went into the insurance business to work as an independent broker.
Naturally, and, of course.
Yeah. I totally consider a lot here, but my wife tells me it's because, you know, the thing that I enjoyed about that, being able to work for myself, and my wife tells me it's become oppositional defiant, you know. And I think she's wrong.
Well,
but, you know, the reality is that I enjoyed working for myself. My entire professional career has been working for myself. And I just, you know, I got into the insurance business thinking about it as a short-term thing, not really thinking, oh, this is going to be a long-term endeavor. But about 8 years into that career, it was going very well. I enjoyed it. I mean, the insurance business was great to me.
Yeah.
But I got bored, to be quite honest with you. I got bored. And this is, as you were saying, a lot of people are in their second and third careers.
Yeah.
And so I knew for myself, I wanted to take my talent, my abilities, whatever those are, and I want to use those for making a larger impact without fully knowing what that is.
Yeah.
Right. Part of the reason for that too was a lot of introspection. You know, we talk about narratives and stories a lot.
Yeah.
What I started to realize is that a lot of my decisions that I'd made about getting into the insurance business were to prove to other people that I could actually do it, that I could actually be successful, that I could actually take care of my wife. You know, strangely enough, I had somebody, it's like, do you think you'll actually be able to do this? Because as you probably know, I was, you know, I enjoyed life. I like to cut up and joke around a lot, but I was running into the narrative like, well, Jared's great, but he's just not that serious. And so I had started making a lot of decisions to prove people that even waited for me to do that.
Yeah.
And so I found that I was living by a different narrative, a different idea. And that's where I started to really start to question what I was doing and say, well, I want to make a bigger impact. I want to do something different. I'd never heard of strategic foresight. I'd never heard of any schools that were offering this. And I had a friend who was working for a school doing some marketing work, and he told me about it. I thought it was a joke at first.
Yeah.
And then I, 2008, went to Chicago to the World Future Society to meet the professor, and thought, man, this is exactly how my brain works. And so I left the insurance business, transitioned existing business into that, and spent 2 years of grueling, graduate work to learn this craft. So
yeah, that's awesome.
That's the trajectory, man. That's how I did it.
I love it. I love the honesty. I do have one question. So did you shave your head and grow the beard to look more distinguished? Is that for the
Completely.
Part of being in the future, or?
Yeah, it just makes me look wise. It's a great facade. Wait, is this live?
No, we're not really live. We're just recording still. Don't worry about it. I'll tell you when we go live. It's all good.
Perfect. Just let me know. I'm going to make sure I'm,
Yeah, that's good.
I'm good here.
It's very classy. I love it. All right, look. So this show is all about taking kind of ethereal, high-level concepts and making them tangible for emerging leaders. And I said this on the first show, and I want to reiterate it. I believe that everybody is a leader. I believe that everyone is leading something. If you are getting up every day and are accountable to something other than yourself, then you are embodying an aspect of what being a leader is. And there's nothing more important than creating your future, right? Creating your future in the present moment. And so one of the books that I have talked about before, and I'm going to show our audience right here, is your book, right? The Three Skills You Must Have to Create the Future That You Want to See. I highly recommend people getting this book. It is a super easy read, and I want to have Jared actually walk people through what those skills are, how to actually apply them in real time in real life. No crazy business, just really basic stuff, so that people can leave this this episode, the show, and they can actually start building on the life and the future that they say they want. So, does that work for you, Jared?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
All right, cool. So the first thing that you talk about in the book is about expanding your awareness and how your internal narratives block your full potential. So, can you share more about what that is? But more importantly, how can people start doing that now in real time?
Yeah, absolutely. So expanding your awareness, in a nutshell, what I mean by this is that it's becoming more aware of the forces that are driving and shaping the future, the external forces that are driving and shaping the future, which is what most of us are aware of right now.
Yeah.
Technology, big social changes. But more important than that, expanding your awareness is really about the internal forces that are driving and influencing your decisions today. And those internal forces are the stories that we tell ourselves. Like I was telling you about my career transition is when I started to realize I had made so many of my career choices trying to prove other people wrong that didn't even know I was trying to prove them wrong, right?
Yeah.
I was buying into a story that I had something to prove. And this is, it seems very unfuturistic, right?
Yeah.
Right? But it gets down to the practical level that expanding your awareness is becoming more aware of these things that are driving and shaping the future. Because right now, especially in our day and age, we're so polarized.
Yeah.
We have plenty of narratives, plenty of people telling us what we should believe politically, socially, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we react to those things and we don't even know why we're reacting that way.
Yeah.
And it's the small things like this that drive our decisions. We may be making decisions about our future today, setting ourselves up for massive disruption because we refuse to examine the narrative. We refuse to even challenge our own biases and assumptions about what the world in the future may look like.
Yeah. This is, to me, one of the... This may have been the biggest pop that I've ever had in my life. Before I got into coaching, believe it or not, I didn't realize half of the narratives that were running in the background that were disempowering, right? And they were derailing my life all over the place. And it wasn't until I understood that narratives were even a thing, right? Forget about, you know, mindfulness and meditation and just being present. Like, I just didn't even know that there was this internal loop that was negative going on. And once I was able to expand my awareness, and you can do that through yoga, meditation, mindfulness training, journaling, and so on and so forth, it was actually scary. It was scary. I realized there was so much noise going on that I just didn't even know where to begin, right? It can be, because for a lot of people, what we're talking about can be really unsettling.
Yeah, it should be.
Well, it should be. Honestly, if you're not unsettled, then you're probably not in the right conversation, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so I think that this is probably one of the most critical things is, and what I talk about as a coach is just getting curious. You know, our good friend Dov talks about that all the time. Curiosity, in order to be curious, it requires you to be intentional. It requires you to be present, right? And from there, you can essentially expand your awareness and start to discover what your potential could be. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's absolutely fair. I mean, it's, you know, expanding your awareness is really about being more conscious.
Yeah.
Internally, externally.
Totally.
Right? I mean, that's really what's key. And, you know, the next thing that we talk about is reimagining what is possible.
Yeah.
And that's be curious. All right. Awesome. It's taking in these ideas, recognizing what they are.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, well, that's just the way it is, and I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
It's asking, well, all right, well, what else might be possible here?
Yeah.
Because we can't get to that point until we realize that there are always two sides to a story. More than that, usually, but you know, for simplicity's sake, there's more than one side of the story.
Yeah,
and we have to understand why we feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And a real practical way to do that is to just pick any news story, which there's 1.5 million going on right now. Any news story that's taking place.
Yeah.
Pick one, and just and be aware. Just listen, and then be aware of how you feel. Like, notice what's going on internally.
Yeah.
Right. If it's a political news story, and if it's, you know, if it's on one side of the spectrum and you're on the other side of the spectrum, you're immediately walking into that listening with a whole lot of bias, a whole lot of assumptions, just like they are presenting a narrative that has the same.
I think
being aware of that gives you more control over it. So you can say, aha, I see where my spots are too. And you can begin to ask yourself, why do I feel this way? Right? Why am I responding that way?
I think it's important for listeners to recognize that even though we're talking about this and it may sound intellectually very easy to understand, it's the process in which to apply this. It can be challenging and it can take a lifetime for some people, right? Because we have essentially built up walls and ways in which we strategically operate in our lives. We all do that. It's called our comfort zone, right? And what you're talking about is peeking through the curtain to see what's going on behind, right? Challenging those beliefs to expand your awareness. The other thing you talk about is about reimagining what is possible, how to use uncertainty to your advantage. And what I really loved about this is that for all the neuroscience geeks out there listening and watching who know what I'm about to say is uncertainty is one of the, I think it's the number one brain craving, right, that we want to avoid, meaning certainty is what we need most. We need to know that when we turn on the light switch, light goes on, the phone will ring. We need to know that things are going to happen as programmed as we believe them to be. So when you talk about reimagining what is possible, how to use uncertainty to your advantage, this just kind of like flipped my head around. It's like, wait, what? How can I use uncertainty to my advantage when that goes against everything of my natural hardwiring? So can you talk a little bit about how people can actually do that? What does it mean?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, the most simple way to explain that is that in uncertainty, most people refuse to act. So just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, our markets slow down. You know, everything stops. Just think about the organizations you work with.
Sure.
That when market starts to go negative or in any way, it's like, well, we're just going to hold off.
Yeah.
We need to wait and see. It's a constant roller coaster. So the vast majority of people refuse to act or don't want to take action when things are uncertain.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, that's exactly when you should act.
Yeah.
Because what's happening there in that moment of uncertainty is that the rules haven't been written yet.
Right.
You know, on a big picture, right? You know, maybe this is the opportunity to move in and to try something new to change the game. But that's, you know, when things are certain, you have no incentive to do that. But when things are uncertain, that's where there's opportunity to really shape the outcome.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I say, you know, when things are uncertain, if we're trained, it's a narrative to believe, well, if things are uncertain, we shouldn't act because, you know, that just might be foolish. That's a narrative unto itself, right? But when you realize that you don't have it all figured out, you don't know the answers, And this, and I'm going to jump back real quick here. A big part of expanding your awareness, being more conscious of, you know, those internal stories and those ideas. The other thing that teaches you is you don't have it all figured out. You don't have all the answers. That was probably the number one biggest learning for me when I was in my graduate program is that, wow, there's so much, and I will never have this all figured out.
Yeah.
And so when you move into that second stage, right, that reimagining what's possible, being curious, challenging these ideas so that you can move and make decisions of uncertainty, you're approaching it from a position of, hey, there's so much more, right?
Yeah.
You're not thinking about I'm losing so much by acting. There's so much more opportunity here. There are things that I can do and test and try while everybody else is standing by and waiting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what leadership is. That's where real innovation is born.
Yeah.
That's where your real opportunities are.
No, I agree. I think it's one of those things that's just inherently challenging. I think it's a great opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I think it's really more of kind of like an invitation, right? Because it is the calling is what I'll call it. Right? It's really a calling for people to reimagine what's possible. And honestly, it's really also about just kind of bucking the status quo. I mean, I think that we inherently become so complacent, and hence our futures or our present futures as a result are impacted by that. So reimagining what's possible and getting curious back to expanding your awareness, I think is really, really great information. Obviously, I'm going to dive in a little bit more to how people, what people can do to actually build these skills in a moment. The third thing, though, is you talk about in the book creating new realities, right? So how to create a powerful vision that inspires those actions. So people talk about vision and purpose and passion in the workplace and outside of it all the time. And I think it's just utterly confusing, right? It's like the chicken and the egg. What came first? Was it the passion? Was it, I had to have my vision before I had this. I can't do this before I do that. It's just like, what do you mean by creating a powerful vision that inspires others to action? And I love that you put inspires others and not inspiring self, but help everyone understand what you mean by that.
Sure. Yeah. So I think it's a flip on the spectrum, right?
Right.
Most of the time we're told, well, you need to have a vision before you start out.
Right.
And in certain cases, that's true. But in this situation, the vision is what, at least on your journey, the vision is what comes last.
Right.
Right. And what I mean is that, simply put, nobody has ever been inspired by an achievable vision, right? You know, it's like, oh yeah, we can do that.
Sure.
We all know we can do that. So let's go ahead and make that our vision. You know, we're going to increase this. We're going to do that. And, well, great.
Right.
It doesn't inspire anybody to action.
No.
Real vision that drives and shapes the future is a vision that people can feel connected to.
Yeah.
And not just a pie in the sky, like, hey, I just pulled this out of a hat. I'm throwing it up there. I can't tell you how I got there.
Yeah.
But I should all take part in creating this.
Yeah.
You know, going through a process of expanding your awareness, identifying these driving forces internally and externally that are shaping the future and shaping your decisions, being able to ask what else might be possible, being more curious, challenging accepted norms and ideas of just the way things are.
Yeah.
That sets you up for that next stage, which is to create that story, to create that context of the future, because you're learning how to see the ways that things that are here today, the big trends in technology, how these things might impact multiple facets of society.
Yeah.
And when you're thinking that way, you've given yourself permission to look at things that nobody else is looking at because they're buying into one idea that somebody's presented to them. But by doing that, you are laying the groundwork for an incredible story. That's all a vision is.
Yeah.
That's all the future is. It's a story. But that story has to link back to where we are today. And that's what is missing from most powerful visions, right?
Yeah.
Powerful vision is one where I can see how you arrived at that future state. And more importantly, I feel a deep connection to it, an invitation to participate in making it a reality. And that comes back to a big overarching theme in a lot of my work, which is thinking about or looking at the future is useless if you can't leverage it today.
Wow.
And that is what it means to create a powerful vision, is going through a process that allows you to create the environment, the story, the context, so that you can envision yourself, the people you serve in that context in the future, and then tell that story today so that people get inspired to take action and take more of a role for themselves into saying, this is the kind of outcome we want.
Yeah.
This is where we're going, and here's how I came to that conclusion.
You touch on something I think that, again, is a theme that I'm going to talk about in the show in the future, which is storytelling. People, you know, we hear about storytelling, the power of telling stories and narratives. But one of the things that you are exceptional at is is essentially dissecting people's stories. Like, I see this as a coach, I see this in you, is you're one of your greatest gifts, and this is why you're successful at what you do when you're working with individuals and you're working with institutions and large corporations, is that you know very quickly, I think, intuitively, what is the narrative that they've got going on? What is the impact that narrative is causing them? And then how can you change that, right? Create that awareness so that they can change a new story. I'm for everyone who's out there who's listening, I'm not just a fan. I use the product. I actually, it sounds like a commercial. I rely on Jared a lot as a colleague, as a confidant, as an advisor, and he has a true gift. And I really just want to thank you, because your ability to kind of cut through the BS, which is something that I always enjoy, and really get to the heart of the conversation so that you can quickly steer somebody with a new narrative, right? In a new direction. That is the work that you do. It's a small part of the work you do, but it's a big piece fundamentally of what, is in how you help people. And I can't thank you enough, for coming on the show and supporting, you know, not me, but really just the listeners and the people on LinkedIn all around the world who are curious about, you know, what is a futurist? What do you do? And I encourage every single person who is listening to go out there and talk to Jared, obviously. I mean, you can reach him on, you're pretty much everywhere. I know that you've got all sorts of social media. You're teaching, you're speaking, you're traveling around the world. But you've also got some courses and stuff you want to talk about real quick. Ways that people can actually shore up these skills?
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's, the first thing, folks can definitely contact me through LinkedIn. I mean, this is the place that I spend most of the time when it comes to social media. But yeah, there's practical tools. I mean, my goal is to make this high-level way of thinking, right, much more accessible and practical for people to use. I mean, one of the things is this free course that gives you real skills. It's that we don't, you know, they're short, but there's worksheets, there's things that you can start to apply this way of thinking right away. You know, spotting early signs of change, leveraging information, and so on. And you can, and I guess, Josh, we can put that in the links here or something.
Yep. But I'll send it out.
Yeah, so that's one of the free courses that folks can get into. I mean, then there's also the Foresight Academy, which is the big course. That's the
amazing
one that, the University of Tennessee, yep, where we've got a certificate in strategic foresight from the Haslam College of Business, the University of Tennessee, for anybody that completes this program, and they get to work with me in that program. And, you know, that really takes you on the in-depth journey, right, from the very beginning of deconstructing ideas and narratives all the way to creating a powerful vision that moves other people to action. And it gets very tactical midway through. And then there's the Future 3 Skills Builder, which builds on, you know, the things from the book, you know, these expanding your awareness, reimagining what's possible, and creating new realities. But they can find out all that information at thenewfuturist.com. And, of course, you know, fill out the contact form or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. You know, I'm always up for that.
Yeah. You know, the last two courses, I just want people to know, the course builder is really easy to kind of go through and apply. And it builds a lot on what we're talking about here today. So if you found today's episode really informative and you're interested and you're intrigued, please. Go reach out to Jared, check out his website, check out the books he's written, this book in particular that I got right here, as well as his website and his courses. You really can't go wrong. And I am a self-prescribed kind of personal development junkie. I mean, I read the books, I do all this stuff, and a lot of it is just, to me, is regurgitated. But when I find something that is truly kind of hones in on something very specific in a manner that's easy to digest and apply, then I want to promote it. And I got to tell you that Jared's work is definitely on the head of the curve. So, Jared, I want you to just stick with me for a moment, and we'll wrap up. But I want to end just with a quick kind of parting thought, as I normally do. You know, today was about creating your future, right? It's about stepping into the unknown. And I want to preface that we talk about this stuff like it's aspirational, it's inspirational, and it is, but it can also be challenging. But I invite you to look at, you know, obstacles as opportunities in disguise, right? And push yourself, even if it's 1 degree outside of your comfort zone, whatever it takes, whatever you need to do, one small action today. You know, the quote, you know, don't be afraid to take risks because a toe in the water is not the same as swimming. We believe very often that if we do one little thing, that's good, I'm done, right? But sometimes that one little thing is actually not enough, or it's not in the right direction. So what I invite everybody today who's listening this week, wherever you are, in the evening, tomorrow, is to just go not 1 degree, but actually 2 degrees. I want you to take not one step, but 2 steps forward. Because typically what happens is that first step is still somewhat in our comfort zone, but it'll be the second step that's going to teach you something. And that's what I want for you. Thank you all for tuning in to this second episode with Jared Nichols on Coach's Corner. I am your host, Joshua Miller, executive coach and author. I will be back here Tuesday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific. Please follow me so that you can be notified when I go live. And as always, create a powerful day and remember to live your life, not someone else's. Take care. Bye-bye.